get things underway. We have a long afternoon. Welcome to Data as Critique. My name is Hoyt Long. I teach in the East Asian Languages and Civilizations Department. I am a co-PI on this project along with Richard So, who is running over here at this moment. It's going to be a little late, as well as Tom McEnany, who I'll introduce in a second. So first of all, we want to thank you for coming, despite the many events that are currently happening on campus. We hope today's presentation and discussion will reward you with some new critical entry points into this emerging area of research, which is to say computational approaches to the study of culture. The conference is part of a two-year project called Global Literary Networks, which is generously funded by the Neubauer Collegium for Culture and Society, and we owe a very deep debt of gratitude to them for making this venture possible. And special thanks, of course, to Jamie Bender, as always, and the rest of the Neubauer staff for their incredible help with the planning and logistical support. So we are currently finishing the first year of our project, and really, this workshop is meant to be a kind of a capstone and a moment of reflection, evaluation on the kinds of work we've been engaged in. Last fall, we held a two-day intensive workshop and gathered together a group of humanists with expertise in network analysis, text analysis, statistics, and modernism to help us generate and think through a number of case studies having to do with our primary object of interest, which is global literary modernism. Since then, we've been busy building textual corpora, bibliographic databases, writing code, exploring network visualizations, and generally thinking about how best to respond to our colleagues in literature when they ask us with understandable skepticism why we are doing any of this at all. And I say this only half in jest, because really, you know, half of our work we've spent a great deal of time just sort of thinking about how to communicate this work to colleagues. And so part of what you'll see here today is really the early fruits of this labor. But as we thought about ways to sort of present this work to the public, we decided that we would have the most to gain by showcasing it alongside other literary scholars who have been wrestling with questions of quantification and computation in the analysis of cultural objects, but also alongside scholars from a discipline that has been wrestling with these questions much longer than our own, namely sociology, and more specifically, sociology of culture. And I say much longer, but this is only, you know, in part true and more a matter of degree, I think, than of absolutes. For the more that we've done work in this area, the more we realize that cultural critics and sociologists have been interrogating the quantitative-qualitative divide for at least a century now, and have in many cases directly inspired each other's work, even if they weren't in direct conversation. A litany of examples exist, which I won't enumerate here, but the names and schools should be familiar enough to us. Zimmel and his social circles. This name may be less familiar to you, but familiar to me, Japanese novelist Natsume Soseki, who famously tried to express the social and psychological basis of literature as an equation early in the 20th century. We have scholars of mass media in the 1950s and 60s, structural linguists, the pioneering work of Bourdieu, Raymond Williams, Harrison White, Harold Becker. A part of our purpose in assembling this group of scholars here today is to consider where this conversation between sociology and art stands today. People who work at this intersection continue to be informed by many of the same theorists and impassioned by some of the same aesthetic objects, and yet our critical agendas can be very different, as well as our modes of expression. Or else, when our agendas are similar, we are forced to talk past each other in order to be heard by our respective disciplines. So one of our tasks today is to consider really what we might have to learn from each other at this historical juncture, and conversely, to consider those areas where we are still perhaps reluctant to cede ground. The other thing that I think unites us at this particular moment is the renewed focus on the quantitative-qualitative divide, which is now expressed in the key of computation, or more colloquially, through the specter of big data. In each of our respective disciplines, the latter, that is to say big data, has assumed the status of a kind of a second coming, both in the eyes of believers and non-believers alike. The dial of hubris has been turned to volume 11, and it's become very difficult at times, especially recently in the humanities, to cut through the noise. It seems that one must either be with big data or against it, with distant reading or against it, in a kind of zero-sum game. As the literary historian Ted Underwood recently put it, quote, critics practicing historicism, especially if digitally inflected, feel compelled to justify their approach by showing that close reading is the crypto-theological preserve of literary Mandarins. Arguments for close reading, in turn, feel compelled to claim that distant reading is a slippery slope to take over by the social sciences, aka a technocratic boot stomping on the individual face forever. I'm not sure if this holds for sociologists as well. I suspect there's some of this there too. And that's the other reason we've brought this particular group of scholars together, to talk seriously about the uses of computation and data-driven methods as a mode of aesthetic and social critique, to insist that we can use such critical equipment at the same time we scrutinize it, and that, as Latour has put it, we don't have to alternate, quote, haphazardly between anti-fetishism and positivism, like the drunk iconoclast drawn by Goya. That is, data is all constructed, no, data is all empirical truth, but that we have the wherewithal to sort of treat computation and data as things carefully gathered and assembled, the same as any so-called matters of fact that we would call upon as evidence. So what these things do for us interpretively, of course, is very different from what other things, other methods have done for us, and that difference, I think, is something that we want to explore here. So basically, the plan for today is we've split the conference into two sessions. The first session will be loosely sort of organized around the theme of networks, second session around the theme of texts. Each panelist, we have three panelists per session, each panelist will have about 25 minutes to speak and to present their work, and then we'll follow that with a brief question and answer period for each speaker. And then after the three speakers, we'll have about 30 minutes of discussion in which we'll have discussants help to sort of ignite the conversation and sort of reflect on the work that has been presented. So let me go ahead and introduce the first panel and then we can get underway. So speaking first will be Andrew Piper. He's Associate Professor of German Literature at McGill University and one of the leading lights of computational literary criticism, who over the past several years has assembled an array of exciting projects on the topologies of literary forms and the diffusion of narrative styles. He's also made major contributions to the field of book history, including his award-winning Dreaming in Books from 2009. Our second panelist is Tom McEnany, as assistant professor of comparative literature at Cornell University. His primary work is in the area of media history and sound studies, with a specific focus on post-war Latin America. But over the past year, he's developed a digital project that focuses on the early 20th century and attempts to map the complex networks of poetic exchange that emerged in this region. And our third presenter will be Dennis Tenen. He's assistant professor of English and comparative literature at Columbia University. He spends much of his time there nurturing the next generation of digital humanities scholars. And he describes himself as a scholar, coder, and aspiring activist, working on the critical study of computational culture and on the application of computational approaches to the study of culture. The discussants for this panel will be Francis Ferguson and James Evans, who we feel very fortunate to have here with us to help us in this conversation. Francis is Anne L. and Lawrence B. Buttenweiser Professor of English here at Chicago. And her research interests include the literary field of the 18th century and Romanticism, the history of reading and practical criticism, and most recently, the rise of mass education. She has written on everything from Wordsworth to the theory of pornography in the 18th century, and her work is remarkable for the way it eruditely interweaves a close attention to the experience of the literary text, both its content and its status as ontological object, with broad accounts of political and social theory. Her expertise in historical perspectives on reading and on the status of texts as interpretive objects is sure to help us think through what it is we are doing when we subject texts to algorithmic forms of reading. Our second discussant, James Evans, is Associate Professor of Sociology here at Chicago and Director of the Knowledge Lab, which is housed in the Computation Institute. The Knowledge Lab is a project funded by the John Templeton Foundation to develop massive digital corpora and analytic tools for exploring how knowledge is made, used, certified, and forgotten in diverse intellectual and institutional fields. Of the many research areas James is involved in, and there are too many to list, it seems like every time I meet him, he's got a new project. He is especially interested in innovation, that is, how new ideas and practices emerge, and the role that social and technical institutions play in collective cognition and discovery. He's also been a leader in using network analysis as a technique for examining such complex processes. And thus, we expect he'll have a lot to say about how the first three panelists engage with this, the idea or concept of network. So without further ado, I think we'll go ahead and get underway. Andrew Piper will be speaking first on the sociability.